It's wonderful to look into God's book and see the hand of God as He works, isn't it? Blessed assurance in a new year. That'll be our subject this morning. Blessed assurance in a new year. We've been studying about the nation Israel for some time in our Sunday school lesson. We have seen the hand of God as He has led His chosen of the Old Testament. The promises that He made to Abraham through his son Isaac, Isaac's son Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And it was up to those 12 sons, the name was changed to Israel. God's chosen people of the Old Testament. And we know that Jacob married sisters. He tricked Esau, his brother, out of his birthright, and then Laban, his father-in-law, tricked him and gave him the older daughter, Leah. He had worked 7 years for Rachel, whom he loved. He was tricked and married Leah, worked 7 more years for Rachel, and from those two women and concubines, there was 12 sons born, and the nation Israel came into being. We know how that God's people spent some 430 years in Egyptian bondage. The hand of God, through Moses, led those people across the Red Sea in the wilderness into the land of promise. Moses didn't get to lead them into the land of promise. Moses represented the law. And the law. And Joshua led them across the Jordan River on into the promised land. And this is where we're going to begin reading Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We want to read a few verses and then go to the third chapter of the book of Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses has died. Moses is 120 years old when God called him to the top of Mount Nebo. Moses looked over the land of promise, the land that God said, I'll give you. And there the Bible says God kills Moses and buries Moses. No man today knows where Moses was buried. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, down all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that a wonderful promise from God? Be strong of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As we study the book of Joshua, in many books, in the any book in the Old Testament, we can encounter God, can't we? Now, in times of crisis or transition, God speaks to His servants. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, I want you to take command. Our circumstances would be utterly bewildering if not for the word from the Lord, wouldn't it, as we enter a new year. The circumstances surrounding our lives would be bewildering if it wasn't for a word from the Lord, wouldn't it? There's uncertainty seemingly on every hand in our lives. God's presence makes a radical difference in a believer's life. A confident peace replaces fear and anxiety when you know God is with you. As we enter a new year, knowing that the Lord is in control and we're in His hands, what do we have to fear? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Past events in Israel's history reveal that they were prone to forget the saving acts of God. As I meditated upon that and looked at my own life, am I too prone to forget the goodness and the mercy and the love of the Lord in my life? Therefore, God wanted to keep in their remembrance what He had done for His people and to direct their hopes toward greater things in the future. That's what He wants to do to us. Remember the great things God has done and is doing for us, and to know that He directs us into this new year. Blessed assurance in a new year. Joshua recounted the acts and ways of God, and in turn charged God's people to remain faithful to the One who delivered and blessed them. So that would be good admonition for us, wouldn't it? Remain faithful to the One who has saved us, has blessed us so abundantly, and has brought us to this place here today. As we go to the third chapter, we want to read some verses there. Chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Jittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Now, if you'll notice, the Jordan River is swollen out of its banks. And I go back in my life and recall when Bear Creek used to overflood, even over the road here in the bottoms. Some of you remember this, don't you? How that the waters were flooded. Came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark. Now, I want you to notice this. This is significant. Telling the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after the ark of God. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, or that's 3,000 feet. By measure, come not near unto it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. So that's why we're here today, is to hear the word from God, isn't it? Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites and the Perizzites, the Gergesites, Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, he said, look, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all earth passes over before you unto Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. It shall come to pass, when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the rim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of the harvest, just between March and April, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon the heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Isn't it wonderful to see the hand of God as He works in the life of His people? Joshua records the consummation of the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. He records the consummation of the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. Redemption has two parts, beloved. Out and into. In Deuteronomy 6:23 I read, and He brought us out. He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. As we study the book of Joshua, the key phrase is, Moses, my servant, is dead. Why is that the key phrase? Moses, my servant, is dead. The law, of which Moses is the representative, could never give a sinful people victory. The law could never give a sinful people victory. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Joshua represents Christ. In a spiritual sense, the book of Joshua is the Ephesians of the New Testament. Joshua and the book of Ephesians are compatible. Joshua in the Old Testament is the Ephesian of the New Testament. Now, the ark speaks of Christ. Look at verse 3 again. The ark speaks of Christ. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall go remove from your place and go after it. Go after Christ. We should maintain a respectful distance by not irreverently trying to solve mysteries concerning His person that are too deep for the human mind. It says, stay a distance from it. Some of the worst heresies in Christian history have arisen because of a brazen attempts to dwell in the mind of God. Yes, beloved, the ark speaks of Christ. Always keep Christ in view. This assures us of victory. And this is why I read in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. So keep our eye on the Lord as we enter this new year. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since ye are risen with Christ, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, original language, since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, I read in Romans 6:2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When you said you're dead to sin. It's no longer the priority of your life to live in sin. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Just as Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And it, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Now, there are three things to keep in mind as God unfolds His message to us this morning on blessed assurance in a new year. First of all, we want to look at the providence of the Lord behind us. The providence of the Lord behind us. Secondly, we will look at the presence of the Lord with us. The presence of the Lord with us. And then thirdly, the promises of the Lord before us. So, blessed assurance in a new year. The providence of the Lord is behind us. We've come out of 209. And it's because of God's providence of you and I are able to be right here today. It's because of His providence. Whether we realize it or not, it's because of His providence. It's very instructive to contrast the crossing of the Red Sea and the crossing of the Jordan. We can go back to Exodus 14:15, and we can see how that God, through Moses, has led His people from Egyptian bondage. You know the story of the death angel that's passed through the land, or the Lord passed through the land, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So they were redeemed by blood and by the power of God. They had left Egyptian bondage, had come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was insurmountable insofar as man was concerned. And the Egyptian army was falling behind the Israelites. They looked and saw the greatest army in the world coming. And here's the Red Sea and a mountain on this side and a mountain on that side. Here we're in a predicament that we just can't do anything about. They went to Moses. Moses went to the Lord in prayer. He said, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know the story of how that God departed the Red Sea and how that He led His people across the Red Sea. They're on their journey to the land that God said, I'll give you. And they watched the greatest army in the world at that time, 600 chariots and their horses and the captains come on into the sea after God's people. The Lord told Moses to tap the sea again, and the sea just drowned them. And the Bible said those Hebrews could look on the bank of that Red Sea and see the dead Egyptians. How God had protected them. The providence of God was behind them. The providence of the Lord, likewise, is behind us. As we contrast this, the crossing of the Red Sea illustrates separation from the past. Separation from Egypt, which was a type of the world. You and I have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And we're told in the Bible to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof. So this illustrates our being raised from darkness to light in Christ. And that was by the work of the Lord. Just as the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage was by blood and by power of the Lord, you and I too have been delivered from darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. The second crossing pictures entrance by faith into our spiritual inheritance in Christ. As they crossed the Jordan River, went into the land of promise. Canaan land does not represent heaven. Canaan land represents the abundant life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh up, but for to kill and to steal and destroy, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we see the second crossing pictures entrance by faith into our spiritual inheritance in Christ. How many of God's people die in the wilderness, never cross the Jordan, and experience that abundant life that the Lord came to give? Well, we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the abundant life that He came to give. Verse 4 goes on to say, According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. But there's a purpose that He has chosen us, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So the crossing of the Jordan represents the abundant life that you and I can have. The providence of God behind us. Enemy defeated once and for all when the Egyptian army was drowned at the Red Sea. But the Jew had to win one victory after another victory as they crossed the Jordan and entered into Canaan land. You and I have battles to fight in our own lives, don't we? Beloved, on the cross, Jesus defeated our enemies. But we have to walk in war by faith if we are to have daily victory. And that's why Paul, in conclusion, the book of Ephesians, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then he goes on to piecemeal our armor, faith and love and on in the sixth chapter. So we must have that on to fight the battles. We cross the Jordan. We enter by faith into the victory experience of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Verse 31 tells us that who can harm us? If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 37 Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have the providence of God behind us and has led us to this point in our lives. We're closer right now to our eternal home than we've ever been in our lives. As we enter a new year, we're closer to our eternal home than we've ever been in all of our lives. And we're here today because the providence of God is behind us. But Christ always goes before His people. He opens the way. He did at the Red Sea. He did in the 38 and 40 years of wilderness wandering. He did now as they came to the brink of the Jordan River. He had a plan. He had a way for them to cross. The people must sanctify or commit, dedicate themselves, and be ready for God's leading. So it is in my life. Sanctify yourselves in the sight of God as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God was going to lead the Jews into new territory, verse 4 tells us. They had to be ready. God's providence was behind them. God is leading you and me into new territory in a new year. We've not passed this way heretofore. It's a new territory for us. The providence of God is behind us and has led us to this point in our lives. The second point I want us to notice, the presence of the Lord is with us. Have you recognized that? The presence of the Lord is with us. Look at verses 14 through 17 again of our reading. Came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up. You see how God made a way for them? No. You and I do not know what faces us in 2:10, but God's going to make a way for His people. It happened just as God said it would happen, beloved. We can see how God's promises are true. Their priests went before them, bearing the ark. When they dipped their feet into the water, God opened the river before them. God opened the river before them. Impossible for human beings. But the eternal, almighty, sovereign God opened the way for them. He's the same one that His promise behind us. He's the same one. The presence of Him is with us as we enter this year. We just need to realize and recognize this and rejoice in what we have in the Lord. Sometimes God's people have to get their feet wet by faith before God goes to work. Verses 2 and 3 will tell us this in our reading here. The priest then walked to the midst of the river and stood there while all Israel passed over the other side. Then they followed to the opposite side themselves. Beloved, what a perfect picture here of Christ. He goes before us to open the way. God opens doors for me. He opens doors for you. Are we ready to step through those doors that God has opened for us in this year? He stands with us until we cross over. Do you remember the promise He's made? Hebrews 13 and 5, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Then He follows behind to protect us. God kept His word as His people trusted Him and obeyed Him. As His people trusted and obeyed Him, God kept His word. This is the way it'll be. And that's the way that it was. Now, let's look at the promises of God before us. The providence of God behind us, the presence of the Lord is with us. And then thirdly, as we enter this new year, we have the promises of God before us. Look at Joshua 23 and 14. Joshua chapter 23, and I believe it's verse 14. We read these words. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua's come to the end of his life. You know in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Look at verse 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fault for you. So it is for us as we enter a new year. Now, let's look at some eternal blessings just a moment. We have the promises of God that's before us. We have some eternal blessings. We're purchased with an eternal redemption. In Hebrews chapter 9 In verse 12, we read these words. You and I, who are the Lord's children, been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, says, by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And of course, the writers added, for us. For us. So, we're purchased with an eternal redemption. We're saved with an eternal salvation, we're told, in Hebrews 5 and 9. An eternal salvation. We possess of eternal life. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're called to an eternal glory in 1 Peter 5 and 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And then we're waiting for an eternal home. As we enter a new year, we do not know what 2:10 holds for us. But the important thing, beloved, is to know who holds, whose hand we're in, the eternal, almighty God. So we've got some promises of God that's before us. We're going to arrive safely on the other shore. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. Do you have that assurance this morning in and through the work of Christ? What He has done. What God has done. Joshua was very careful to show what God has done. This is what God has done for us. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's according to His mercy He saved us. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is that a reality in your life? If so, you have these promises of God before us as we enter a new year. Yes, all around us, from an economic standpoint, a political standpoint, every way you can turn, it seems to be dark. But I want you to know, in the providence of God, He's led us to this point in time, in life. And He's letting us live for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? It's to bring honor to Him through His church. Is that a reality in your life? We have the promises of God before us. Christ is our keeper. We're kept by the power of God. We're told in 1 Peter 1 and 5, we're kept by the power of God. We have a reservation in the glory world that's made by our Lord. The ticket's bought and paid for, and it will not be canceled as we enter 2:10. 2:10. We're kept from falling, we're told in Jude 24. We're kept for His eternal glory. Now, as we enter a new year, we can go on our way rejoicing because we have the providence of God behind us. We have the presence of God with us. We have the promises of God before us. And as I thought about this, I thought of how joyful you and I ought to be. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch when he was saved by God's marvelous grace. And you know the story there in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, don't you? The Bible says Philip was called away and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And I thought, he went on his way rejoicing after his baptism. He was rejoicing in a trusted Savior. We won't go to Psalms 5 and 11 and so that show you there. He was rejoicing in a known salvation. Are we rejoicing in these things that the Ethiopian eunuch was rejoicing in? Trusted Savior, a known salvation, rejoicing in the person of Christ. Christ, who is our life, when He'll appear, we're going to appear with Him in glory. Are we rejoicing in these great truths? Rejoicing in the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God is wonderful to us. Jeremiah 15:16. How wonderful it is. Rejoicing in the assurance of glory over yonder. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, blessed assurance in a new year. And it's all because of God. His providence behind us, His presence with us, and His promises before us. What better could we want than this? Even though, as we look at the world conditions and current events, things are dark. But Satan wants to use this to keep our minds and hearts off of the spiritual things that we have in Christ. Have you made yourself ready to truly enter 2:10 with the assurance, the providence of God behind us, the presence of God is with us, and the promises of God are before us? Thank you, Lord, that we can enter a new year with these assurances, these blessed assurances in our heart, that the victory is already won in Christ. And Lord, we do not know what tomorrow holds, but we are so joyful and thankful that we know You who holds tomorrow. And You never make a mistake, and You teach us in Your precious Word that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to Your purpose. Thank You. In Your providence, You permitted us to come this far into a new year. And Father, help us when the storms of life break, and Lord, they do break in all of our lives, that we're just so privileged to fall back in the arms of the omnipotent God with assurance He'll work things out for our good in such a way to bring honor to You. Help us, O God, to keep our hearts and our minds stayed on You. What You have done, what You're now doing, and what You will yet do for those that love You. Help us, O God, to have the inner desire to study Your Word, to listen to You speak to our hearts through Your Word. You'll give us the enabling grace to be doers of that Word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Father, we want to be pleasing to You. We want You to love others through us as we enter this year. May they see that Christ is real in our lives. Thank You again for all the blessings. We realize every good and perfect gift comes from You, the giver and sustainer of both physical and eternal life, the giver of every good gift. Comes from You, and we praise You for this. Thank You for Your Word and the Holy Spirit, the Master Teacher. Help us understand it and give us wisdom that we might rightly apply Your Word to our lives. Each day You permit us to live and move and have our being. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen.